Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Manager once said 7 out of 10 ain't bad. Is that how we're feeling about game week 8?
Yeah, 7-10 split, bad. 70% of matches, reasonable. I don't know. You know,
70% of matches is a miracle by Premier League standards these days.
That's true.
Couple of years.
I know. They really do have an emerging credibility problem that's not entirely their fault, but it does feel like it's a little too easy to postpone a Premier League game right now. And
it's an on the nose metaphor, because I'm going to talk about people calling out sick, and we have gone through 2+ years of a global pandemic. But does the Premier League feel a little bit like that colleague who is like very quick to call out sick, like a little tickle in my throat? Not coming in today.
That is the absolute perfect way to do it, which I think the postponed matches, of course, you know, we're already in a very clustered season, and that is actually not the Premier League's fault. That is very much a Qatar World Cup situation that we're dealing with, along with the fact that we're just kind of like, we're still on like a bit of a lag, you know, from 2020. It's like everything's still like a little crunched, it feels like. You know, and so, you know, dropping these matches, I think from a fan perspective, it's okay. And in some cases, like with Brighton, maybe it's for the best, right? You're still, there's, you know, they get through the international break to bring in a new manager. Presumably they'll have one by the time the matches return in October. For anyone who doesn't know, there are no matches next weekend. This is the international break has begun as of the recording of this podcast. So
officially,
we inaugurated it. Yeah. But I think from a fantasy perspective, it's pretty tough to lose these matches. And I was telling you, before we started the pod, I saw a friend who I kind of coaxed into trying fantasy Premier League out for the first time this season. And I saw him this morning and he said, I'm out, you know, and it was just, he was really into the lead, you know, he's an American. He's really into the Leeds thing with Jesse March. And, you know, he's like 2 weeks in a row with no matches. And now I got to figure out what to do with my team, how to reset it. And so I think that's the only,
and he's, you know, let's be, he's a bona fide football fan. It's not like he's a Johnny come lately, baseball guy or something.
Exactly. So it was, you know, and I just say that it makes for a tricky start to the season. And I think that I'm hoping that in October we get like a nice clean reset. And I think it should be fine from there on out, right? From game weeks, you know, 9 through 16 and right up until November, it should be a fairly clean slate. It's going to be very packed. We're going to have lots of matches. So if you missed out on matches this weekend or last weekend, there are basically games all week and all midweek from, you know, October 1 through November 12th. You're going to get your total fix. So, you know, enjoy this weekend. If it's late enough where you live, Brent, it's a little too early still in New York, but this is not, we're not quite in apple picking season. I feel like we really need to, you need to be in month 10 here in New York.
Yeah, to do apple picking. It is not Mr. Autumnal Man pumpkin spice latte season. It's hot today in New York, September 18th. It's hot.
Something in the air this weekend, a little hint of autumn, you know, as fall, as we call it here in the United States, Brandon, a hint of fall. When games are back in October, it will be fall. Like we are October is fall to me. So pumpkins and Halloween and all that stuff. So what are we talking about today, Brandon? Game week 8 is here. We had matches. I had a great Saturday and I had a, kind of nothing burgers Friday and Sunday. And I feel like for you, it was really Sunday was redemption Sunday for you, right? You must've gained about 400,000 spots on Sunday just based on, players who played for you that day.
I dropped from roughly 200K to 400K after Saturday because I chose not to wild card. So I had no Spurs players. I didn't have Kevin De Bruyne. So I was worried, and everything was riding on Arsenal this morning.
I was worried about this podcast, you know?
I resigned myself to my fate. I was like, oh, okay, I had a decent start to the season. It was all kind of, the house of cards was going to collapse at some point. I actually did a blackout for the Spurs-Leicester match. So I didn't even track that match. And then imagine, like, when I went back and did the, like, quasi match of the day with the with the 10-minute highlight package. Just like, what is going on fantasy-wise?
Why won't they fire Rodgers? What is going on? It's like, is it like a, like, you made this mess, like, we don't want to own it? Like, it's a weird, it's a weird situation.
I do think it's an interesting question with Brendan Rodgers. I was listening to the BBC 606, or the radio call-in show, just like weirdo fans calling in from all over the country. Yeah, yeah. And they pose this question to Leicester fans, like, do you think that Brendan Rodgers should leave? And then they go through Rodgers' resume at Leicester. Two top six finishes. Last season, they were in the top 10, an FA Cup, a European semifinal. And, you know, when you kind of, we remember, you know, following the narrative so closely, we remember, well, all of these failures. The you failed sixes. To win a European title. Yeah. You failed to make the top four when it was kind of there for the taking. But stepping back, listening to this radio show, I was like, you know what? He's done a fairly admirable job with a mid-tier Premier League club, all things considered.
He certainly has, but I mean, if he feels like even he wants to be fired, it's like, it's a weird,
so you know, that's where it's it becomes,
like, that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's where it becomes an interesting question of how much time do you give him? Because, and the fans were like, well, you know, maybe give him another few weeks. And I tend to agree with you, Josh, where it's not about whether he deserves the right to manage for another month or not. It's clearly soured. And everything that you've achieved in the last few years, it means something, but in this present, like, looking forward, it doesn't mean anything. And I think Rodgers probably wants to go. They're at the end of a cycle with their player pool too. Yeah, so this is like a moment that the whole club needs to embrace change.
Yeah. There was this idea that they didn't buy anyone in the summer, basically, because they don't kind of trust him enough to, you know, they didn't trust him to stick around, or whether, you know, so it's like, I'm not quite sure what they're waiting for. Maybe they're waiting for a particular manager to become available. Maybe, I mean, you know, is it possible that they could get, of course I'm forgetting his name now, the Spurs
Pochettino?
And PSG. Yeah. Pochettino. Like, is that a possibility? I don't know. Maybe.
Let me ask you this. If you were Brighton, would you hire Brendan Rodgers right now?
Wow. I mean, they could do worse.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard to say, because I'm not, like, enough of an expert on, like, European managers, right? You know, so, like, in my head, it's like the pool that I'm picking from are, like, Premier League, you know,
Sam Allardyce and Brendan Rodgers. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, there probably is, like, some guy in, like, I mean, Brighton, especially, if they're so good at this, right? There's probably some guy in, like, the, you know, the Swiss, you know, Premier League or whatever, who's like the next Arsene Wenger. And they're, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, with the chaos the last couple of weeks, I mean, we really didn't even talk. I mean, obviously last week was a live fest pod. And so we haven't really talked about, you know, some of the things that have happened. And, you know, the Queen's passing has obviously just shifted the narrative so much. But, you know, the Graham Potter move is pretty wild. And I think that I'm really interested to see how it all shakes out. Of course, Chelsea didn't play this weekend, and so we didn't really get a chance to dig into it, you know, completely. But I don't blame him for moving. I'm sure
he had to do it. It was one of those where a step up sometimes is not the right move for a manager, but a top four club, immediately his first game he's managing is a Champions League match.
Exactly.
This is the best thing that Potter could have done for his career. I'm no Chelsea fan, but I'm rooting for him, honestly.
I am too. And what seems interesting about him going there is, I feel like I've heard virtually nobody question whether he's, like, up for it, which is kind of interesting, right? I mean, it's like he's certainly jumping a level, and it feels like almost everybody feels like he is, you know, like a strong manager who can handle it. And, but, you know, but the thing he didn't have was Champions League experience. And now he gets to book, you know, basically a half dozen matches, right? Because they're all so clustered together. And, you know, he doesn't even have the pressure of, oh, this is Graham Potter's team, right? He didn't have, like, the summer to put a team together. So it's like the most low pressure time you could jump to a new club. And so I totally, you know, get the move there. So, and I think Brightmoor are right to take their time right now as well, right? Because they had that postponed match, so they basically got a month to figure out what they wanted to do.
It's what we were saying with Brendan Rodgers at Leicester. Todd Boehly comes into Chelsea. He's like, the fit isn't right with Tuchel here, for better or worse. We just have to have chemistry in this club, and we're going to have to make some painful decisions to do that. And yeah, Leicester just need to get their act together. So yeah, like, getting back to game week 8, I wanted to finish the happy story that is my game week. So yeah, I held on to all my Arsenal guys, including Saliba and Jesus. And they were genuinely my two biggest, like if you look at FPLGameWeek.com, like it tells you within your mini league, who are your biggest differentials? Who scoring points is going to help you the most in your league? And it was Saliba and Jesus. So I ended up on having burned four with only 10 starting players. I managed a green arrow, and I'm like ecstatic about it. So I still held within the top 200K by the end of the game week, which feels good.
Yeah. And you and I are about neck and neck. I'm at 202K right now. So I think we're separated for like 1 point between us.
Yeah, 1 or 2 points. Yeah, even you played your wild card, and still people are like, you and Josh had the exact same team. You went and played your wild card, and still were like just 2 points separated.
Still similar to points. And because I wanted to torture myself, I did go back and do the math. And if I had just made the two moves that I made kind of for price purposes, so I brought in De Bruyne and Trippier, and if I had just done that and forgot to wild card, I would have scored as many points this week as I would have without wild carding. But you know, the thing is, you can't bank on 15 points from Saliba, right? And you can't play that kind of retroactive game like, oh, Saliba of course is going to score, they're going to keep a clean sheet to a Brighton team that's been able to score, you know.
Yeah, to a Brentford team. Yeah, it was a miracle.
A Brentford, of course. Yeah,
that kickoff was 7 a.m. here, and I woke up. Your boy finally got a PlayStation 5, so I was up till like 1 a.m. and then and then I set my alarm to get up at 7, and I kind of dozed off right as Saliba scored that goal. So I woke up and I saw Saliba celebrating in front of the camera, and that was like better than an espresso shot, Josh. You're just like, what happened, what's going on, I have to know everything.
I know, and I like didn't, it's like, it's just like one of those, it's why I'm still shaking off the postponements a little bit too. The Saliba one hurt because I would have kept Saliba, you know. I got him at 4.5, he shut up, but for me I was like, well, I'm on a wild card, and you know, game week 12 is approaching where Arsenal have a blank, right? Because they've prioritized the Carabao Cup over Premier League fixtures, right? And so that's when they're going to blank with Man City.
Plus they have Spurs and Liverpool up next, which are very slim clean sheet odds.
But even that, I might have stuck with him just as like a bench option, right? For like, as like a long-term investment. But I was like, no, I should be sensible and bring in Sven Botman instead, you know? And so anyway, it's, you know, so, you know, because they have a great game week 12. I think they play Bournemouth at home. It's something like that. Yeah, they play Everton at home in game week 12. So, and of course, then he's like injured and doesn't even play in game week 8. But, you know, 60 points, ultimately, it's a green arrow. It turned into more of a treading water green arrow than a big one, which was, you know, but that's fine. I mean, a green arrow is a green arrow. I'm 200K. We're 8 game weeks
there's
in.
There's no bigger pitfall than playing your wild card. Like, I feel like you're almost guaranteed a red arrow on a wild card.
Exactly.
Just the mystery of fate. Like, you have to have such patience with your wild card team. So yeah, to have that green arrow right off the bat. And for me, who I still have my wild card now, it's, you know, it's turning to that early season point where the wild card becomes an albatross, where it's like, I don't know when to play this now.
Yeah, it's tricky.
But I still have to think about it. I don't think I'm gonna play it over the break. I need to get my head straight about what's going on with game week 12 and the Arsenal City blank and how I can work that to my advantage, but I'm not sure how.
I think wild carding into a break is overrated in general. And you end up getting a lot of weird fixtures out of a break, right? Not weird matches, right? The matches that get played kind of that first Saturday after a break tend to be a little strange, you know, like a little hard to predict. And so, and looking at the game week 9 fixtures, I don't love a wild card for those, right? Because you've got a couple of derbies, right? You've got Arsenal, Spurs, and Man United, Man City. It's a derby weekend, Brandon. I love it. Any other derbies here? I just love saying derby. We have Crystal Palace, Chelsea. Yeah, it's not really a derby, but
I mean, it's a London. They're both London teams, so you've got that.
Oh, Leeds Villa. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a sort of. I don't know. They're both. Villa's pretty far south of.
There's
Leeds,
probably a train between Leeds and Birmingham. So you know, there you go. Yeah,
exactly. We're not British. There's only so far we can go with the derby talk. Anyway, the point is,
Palace Brighton can have a derby, then anybody can. That's what I say.
Yeah. So it's a tricky week. It's actually I think game week 9 is actually kind of a tricky week to even set your defense right now. I'm looking at my defense for game week 9. I guess Cancelo is fine, but you know, I don't have Trent anymore. You know, that's a big, I'm feeling that one. I left myself 1.9 million in the bank, on my wild card. That was one of the priorities for me, was to have a lot of flexibility so that if I wanted to go KDB to Salah, I could do it. If I wanted to go from Perisic to a Liverpool defender or Reece James, I could do it. I didn't really prioritize banking a player that I wanted to start for game week 9 because I just wasn't in love with any particular fixture for that. Like, you know, Zaha, like, yeah, Palace host Chelsea, like that's not like a great match, right? You know, it's
Palace are like an amazing team when they're amazing, and when they're not, it's just like, you're like, why do I have these players in my team? Well,
and also, like, by that point, I mean, let's see, like, so Palace's last match was away to Newcastle, you know, like, they'll bet like almost a month between matches. Yeah. Like, right. You know, like, they're going to be rusty going into that match, right? It's kind of a hard one to predict. It's like they're basically going to have an off season, you know, 8 weeks in. So,
hindsight is a horrible thing. But let's talk briefly about your wild card and how you're feeling about it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Well, who are the one or two players where you're just like, shoot, shouldn't have got those guys?
Well, I actually, you know, what's funny is the only thing is I might have gone a little stronger defensively, but I feel like that's a little hindsight merchant deal. Like, I didn't go with Dean, and I went with Bailey instead. But you know, ultimately, the thing about like having Kane and De Bruyne on my wild card is, I'm not, you know, I'm going to be captaining Haaland every week like everybody else, right? So I'm not feeling any urgent need to bring Salah back at the moment. You know, I'm not sure when I would captain Salah next, you know? So, and Harry Kane just seems up for it right now, you know? And Kevin De Bruyne is terrific. And, you know, that man's good player. I mean, he's a good fantasy player too, right? I mean, he just gets, you got two assists, you know, so easily. And, you know, could have more. That was actually the red card, I think, was actually great. If you were a supporter, if you didn't have any Man City players or very few, that red card was great for you because that was a match killing red card, right? A red card 40 minutes in when the score is 2-0. Everybody in the stadium, everyone on the pitch knows how that match is going to end, right? It's over. And so it was just a walk around for the next, you know, 50 minutes. Whereas, you know, if it was a 1-0 match, if it was late in the match, you know, it's like if everyone was exhausted, then sometimes like the dam opens up, right? Mm-hmm. But that early on, they had the halftime to regroup a little bit. And so, you know, they sort of scored one goal but that was like, they didn't really have chances, right? It was just kind of like, they weren't really trying to score several goals, it didn't feel like to me.
Yeah. I mean, the Foden goal was just an immaculately created move goal. Yep. And beyond that, it was just kind of a bit of a kickabout.
That's true. That Foden, Haaland, De Bruyne, like, triangle, like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah, if I were you, I'd be feeling pretty good about the wild card team going forward.
I do. Yeah. And I feel, I mean, you know, if you told me going into the season that I'd be 200K 8 weeks in, I'd feel pretty good about that, you know? And so that's, I think that brings us nicely into the theme of this week's podcast, which is Kings of the Game Week. Brandon, this is something we started last year. You know, it doesn't appear that Budweiser is even a sponsor anymore. I'm not seeing them on the Premier League website.
They are a sponsor of the league. If you scroll down to the bottom of PremierLeague.com, you've got Barclays is the official bank. Got to have one of those. Castrol Oil.
Yep. Oh yeah. What else we got here? We got Hublot.
Official
watches,
cloud partner is Oracle.
That's great.
Who would you get as your official licensee if just as a casual fan of the Premier League?
I do like the panini is kind of fun. You know, I think I told you that sure. I did some panini stickers with Quinn, my 5-year-old this weekend. And so that was a fun, it was fun filling that out. So, last year they had it was the Budweiser, you know, because of the King of Beers, it was the Kings of the Game Week. And so, I thought it was kind of funny, maybe just because it's a little bit corny. And so we did these sort of Kings of the Game Week international break reviews. And, basically we're going to go through and look at the Kings of the Game Week. So this is basically what they used to call the dream team or the best possible team you could have put together for each game week, right? So if you were able to look ahead, you had the Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future Part 2, you know, Sports Almanac.
Yeah,
exactly. How detailed was it? It looked like a thin comic book size Sports Almanac. How much detail was really in that thing?
I mean, it was the 50s. They weren't stats nerds like we are now. But I do think, I believe this to be true, that Kings of the Game Week, it's not necessarily... It could be more than £100 million. I think it's just like, isn't it the 11 top scoring people? Or does it have to actually fit into the budget?
You're right. No, it doesn't fit in the budget. You're right. So I guess I wasn't explaining that very well. But yeah, basically it's the best possible team. If you throw the budget out the window that you could put together in a particular game. So it's kind of fun to go through these because there are certain narratives that emerge. I mean, obviously Erling Haaland will be popping up very often here, but there are other players that sort of surprise you and maybe change your perspective a little bit on the season. I remember Jose Sa last year was just constantly popping up in here. Mm-hmm. And it was like, neither of us had owned Jose Sa at any point in the season. It was like, man, this guy's having a great year. It's like every week it's the Jose Sa show in the Kings of the Game Week. So that's what we're going to do. And just, you know, we haven't really had a chance to do this in a while. And I wanted to quickly shout out the top 10 in the Always Cheating Super League. And so, Brendan, I'll go ahead and read that off. In 10th is Rob Duncan. In 9th is Agraj Jakir Banjar. In 8th is Chelsea 11 FC. Wow, that might be the club itself, Brandon.
That's incredible.
Can the club join? In 6th is Alex Keating. So I guess we have a four-way tie for 6th. Also in 6th is Luke Moore.
From the Football Ramble?
I hope it is. Does he go by Cheese Nuggets? Because that's his team name.
That's the clue.
In 5th is No Hit Wonders, Dimitri Vanderreek. In 4th is Runar Ovesen Hirpbach. I really did my best to say that correctly there, Brandon.
Good job.
In 3rd is Ozegbi Akanisi. In 2nd is Isam Elbiad. And in 1st is James Teague. So congrats to everybody in the top 10. And Brandon, I think we have something like 25,000 plus managers in the
We're beyond 26,000 at this point, and it's never too late. Just go to alwayscheating.com. The league code or the auto join button is right there. And a quick word for our sponsors, Josh, Patreon, patreon.com. Patreon is not a sponsor, but you kind listeners who contribute to our Patreon, to say thank you to me and Josh for what we do each week. If you want to contribute and get more fantasy content in return, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. A big thank you to new supporters, and I see some familiar names, people we met last weekend at Fest NYC. Amar Bargava, Tyler Moen, Renata Davis, Ahmed Abdelrahman, and A. Isaac. So friendly faces there. And I did mention Fest NYC, Josh. Despite the match postponements, which I can't even imagine a more coincidental thing happening. We were just talking about the movie, the Mads Mikkelsen movie, Riders of Justice, where it's what if you took an action movie and put correlation slash causation into the script?
It's yeah, kind of what happened does not with, equal causation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we had planned to watch the Game Week 7 matches at the beautiful Sunset Park rooftop in Brooklyn, and there were no matches, but everyone, 100 plus fantasy managers who still showed up, hung out, drank, ate, played FIFA, played actual IRL football on a five-a-side pitch. We did a live podcast recording with Mark Southerns. If you're interested in that conversation, we released it on the podcast feed last week. So just go back to the previous episode of this podcast and hear our chat with Mark. And meeting Mark Southerns was a dream come true for both of us, Josh, because he's the guy who really inspired us listening to his Scoutcast with Granville to start this podcast. So really bringing things full circle.
Yeah, that's right. And great to meet, Ed and Gianni and of course, all the various, the many, many people. I mean, the couple that listened to the podcast for the first time a week before Fest. And yeah.
That's Renata, who is now a new Patreon supporter.
Oh, geez. I went right past that. They heard the podcast the first time and then. Came and went to Fest in Brooklyn, a week later. And so there were a lot of stories like that. Two people came from Northern Europe, and it was just a really nice mix of people. Obviously, we'll talk more about this later. I it's funny, you and I are talking about this before the pod, and we're like, all right, now that it's done, we have to be conscious of our friends in, Central England listening to this, who just just sick of
Central
Fest talk,
England.
But it was
coastal England people are anywhere.
I don't know, I was just thinking anywhere it's difficult to get here even by a plane, right? So anyway, thank you to everyone who came sincerely, and but let's take a break and let's do our Kings of the Game Week international break review.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway, with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every match from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Ben, we're back. So this is our fun international break pod. We'll be back next week with a Game Week 9 proper preview and information for, I know there's a lot of wild carders out there, despite us negging on the wild card. I totally understand why people would want to do it during that break. So we'll talk more about that next week. Right now, we want to look back at the season to date. And there's been a lot of drama already, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's been a dramatic opening 8 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we've lived a whole season. I mean, if you just look at Erling Haaland's goal tally, you would assume we've already gone through 18 weeks already, given he has 11 goals already.
It's incredible. I mean, he is really the story of the season. I mean, I thought that the Tuchel Conte thing story would be the story of the season, right? Because that was so wonderful when that happened. But then, you know, once Tuchel
forgot about
sacked,
it,
you know, yeah, okay, yeah. And Haaland just keeps doing what he's doing. So as a refresher, I'm going to call them Kings of the Game Week sponsor or not, Brendan. So Kings of the Game Week, best possible team that you could put together for each game week. We're going to go through, it would have been all 8 weeks. Of course, we didn't have a game week seven. So this is going to be the first seven official game weeks of the season. Let's look back at who were the stars of each week. Game week one kicked things off, Brandon. Of course, the player of the week, game week one, as we all remember, was Fabian Schär.
Top
fantasy asset. Although he does love, I noticed this even watching yesterday's Newcastle match, that man loves an out-of-the-box speculative shot, doesn't he? He's in love with it. He's the new Andros Townsend.
He's watching Ruben Neves game film all day, every day. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. I mean, he is the dime store Marcus Alonso, Fabian Schär. Like, what if Marcus Alonso played center back? And you've got Fabian Schär.
Kids for a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, he was fine. I owned him for a stretch at the end of last season when everyone was like, well, Newcastle, pretty good. So he's a fun player, and he seems to be the most reliable center back at Newcastle, given that Dan Byrne and Botman are rotating depending on whether or not Eddie Howe feels like he needs a super tall guy and defense or not.
It's a little wild that Newcastle haven't won a match in their last five fixtures. Like they're like probably a little too good to have not won a match in the last five. Like I'm a little surprised that Howe has not been sacked. I mean, I guess I'm just firing everybody right now, but seriously, like they put together a pretty strong team and they only have one win on the season so far. That feels a little light to me.
Yeah. You can't just sack. I mean, the sack culture is, I think, overstated. Yeah.
And the sack lunch. You know,
For all the sort of like dark money that's coming to Newcastle, I do respect how they are building that team, that squad, and how they have trusted Eddie Howe. And they're going to be fine. And it's kind of like, what was Newcastle's goal for this season? Given the way the, you know, standard top six clubs are going, there's really no chance Newcastle was going to get into the top four. So I kind of like this approach where it's a steady as she goes. Let's build a bit of a foundation that is very stable. And then we can start throwing out some big money to bring in some players that will then help us challenge for the top four.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And maybe Howe is or is not around for that phase. I actually like Eddie Howe. I used to really enjoy his Bournemouth teams. I'm not convinced he is the right guy here, but I don't know. Who knows? Like, it feels like eventually they're just going to bring in some Ancelotti type, right? That feels like that's inevitable, you know, the next like two seasons. Anyway, so, you know, it's a fun mix of players though in game week one, because you see, there's a couple of guys that we'll never hear from again in terms of the Kings of the Game Week. And then there's a couple of stars who are there already, right? And you've got Kelly making his
that's Lloyd
one
Kelly
and only. For Lloyd people Kelly, who wanna... not Brandon Kelly, not your long
sure or Martin
cousin,
Kelly
missing the E, or Martin Kelly and Jefferson Lerma. You had two Bournemouth players crack the this game week one squad, and you know it's kind of funny with them. I mean, I was thinking about how the narrative is just that they are terrible and that they are like clearly going to go down this season. And yet they have more wins than many, many Premier League clubs already in the season. Yeah. I mean, they're not doing great, but they have 8 points. I mean, it's not bad. They're 12th on the table. It's, you know,
it's the Scotty Parker effect. Like, they had to get rid of him. Like, his just loserness was just seeping into the club, and now that he's gone there, and you know, I'm a little sour grapes on Parker from Fulham point of view, which I think they look, I like to see my old friend Phil Billing doing things. Another classic 4.5 fantasy bench waster from his Huddersfield days back in the league doing bits. So I'm rooting for Bournemouth to get 17th place. Somebody's got to do it.
The best team you could have put together in game week one was a 3-5-2. apparently. And I see three players who are clearly like three of the top players so far in the season in terms of maybe points and value. You have Mitro, Holland, both had 13 points this week. And then Pascal Gross, who had 15 points. He's had a really, really strong start. It's probably in the form of his Premier League life. And has, he's interesting because he's a little bit like Trossard. I mean, these sort of Brighton players that everybody's always really highly rated, right? I mean, I don't think anybody is like shocked that Pascal Gross is capable of doing this, but he has never been a super consistent, you know, fantasy asset.
Yeah, and I wasn't a believer after the first couple of game weeks. I thought, this is a phase. And it's just, that's the great disappointment, especially like the fantasy perspective is the great disappointment about Potter going to Chelsea, because Potter was having like the season to start with Brighton, and all these guys from Gross to Trossard to Sanchez in goal, Lewis Dunk. It was just like an affordable, fun team to get behind with your fantasy brain. And I don't know if it's over. It feels like the smart money on it's probably over at this point, but I don't think Brighton like suddenly start being a bad team now.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, they they've been too well drilled defensively, and there's too much continuity there. And so, but does anything else stand out to you from game week one, Brandon?
Yeah, I will say this was the coming out party for Mitrovic, a brace against Liverpool, and we another guy I didn't believe, and he's kept it going. So you see a lot of like great stories here. Kulishevsky, who was by far and away the best player for Spurs in that opening Southampton fixture, he hasn't really turned on as a fantasy keeper.
That's so true. He looked like he was going to be the dude to own on Spurs, after that first match.
I guess, like, honestly, the weirdest guy here is Jorginho, who, and he was in a couple of Kings of the Game Week last season. Like, it's always if Chelsea gets a penalty, he's going to get max bonus. It's like Harrison Reed this past weekend for Fulham. All the guys who are out there doing the dirty work, making all the tackles, completing a billion tiny little easy passes. If they score a goal, that's a locked in 3 points. That's like why De Bruyne is so good.
It's what makes people grumble sometimes about whether there's a different way to allocate some of the points. You know, it's like I still not to have that conversation right now, but like I still, it would be kind of cool if like, you know, I don't know, if your completion percentage is over 90%, you got an extra, you know, point or two for even that alone would make a big difference, right? Like if you were on a team that kept a lot of clean sheets, you could get a four pointer or something like that. So, So let's go on to game week two. We have the narrative has started. Let's see if it continues. And game week two is that man himself, Gabriel Jesus. The explosion had 19 points, should have had about 35 points watching that match in game week two. He was incredible. It was probably his best match. Yeah. Certainly, I don't know. It was an incredible match from him.
It was one of many matches in which Leicester this season will score two goals and still get absolutely annihilated by the opposition somehow. If you weren't a believer, well, you kind of became quickly converted, pardon the sort of like pun there, to a believer.
There's a lot of that today. I don't know. Everyone like jumped on the Jesus. Had he never scored on a Sunday before? I don't know. It felt like that well was getting hit hard today.
Yeah, it's the Dave Saves pun camp. That's not even a pun. It's just words that rhyme. I don't know. I feel like nobody still really knows what to make of Jesus because it's complicated, right? Great player, great team. But what we're really trying to do with fantasy is like squint our eyes and figure out, is this guy capable of getting two double-digit returns in consecutively?
Yeah. Just got his fourth yellow. What's up with that? How do you get four yellow cards in the season?
That yellow cost me like 2 points, and that was very aggravating.
Oh, I was that was like a little ray of sunshine for me in the morning. it's cost him a lot of bonus, I think, this season. Yeah. You know, Brandon.
I suspect so. And I think with Jesus, the feeling going into the season was this is unbeatable value. Like to get starting number nine for a top four, presumably top four team at 8 million, you've just got to take it. But now people, you know, everyone who wildcarded, I didn't see any wildcards who kept Jesus. Yeah. So here is the gambit. I want to see more king of the game week two Jesus, because I still have him.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's kind of 50-50 when we'll see this again.
I feel like, you got to keep him for the North London Derby. They're home for that one. And, you know, that could be a high scoring affair, I think. And then, yeah, maybe from there, you decide what you want to do. They play Liverpool after that. It's not a bad run, but then they blank in 12, you know? And so I think that's one of the reasons a lot of us didn't have him, I think, too, is it just, it's like, if you feel like you can approximate those returns with someone like Mitro on a wild card, it was hard to, it was basically, you felt like you kind of saved a transfer, right? You know, if you just went ahead and you know, went with somebody else off the bat. So yeah, Jesus was the king of the game week. This team, Brandon, would have netted you 143 total points. It's the second week in a row, interestingly enough, after all this year of the forward talk that we have helped to propagate. It's the second week in a row when a 3-5-2 would have been the optimal formation. And so across the back line, we've got that man. I actually didn't know he was going to be here, but that man, Jose Sa, Brandon, is there.
It's like Chekhov's gun, right?
Exactly. Of course, he was going to appear. You have Veltman, Cancelo. I'll never get that right. And Ben Mee had a little run there. And then this was the beginning of the Rodrigo run too. Rodrigo had 15 points in that match, and it's a shame because I was watching that Leeds match when he dislocated his shoulder, and it was kind of a fluke thing. You know, it's such a shame because it really was. I mean, that wasn't a huge shame because I didn't know him on my fantasy team, but, you know, it's a shame for him because he was in the form of his life.
You're doing great. You're having a great
here's
season.
The sad thing, though. Here's the sad thing. You know who the Queen's favorite player was? Rodrigo.
Was it Rodrigo?
He's a huge Leeds supporter, and so I don't know.
So not seeing him play for so long.
I don't know. That's just, to me, that's wild speculation, and you're doing it. I wouldn't do that myself, okay. But it's interesting.
All right. That was bait, you know, what happened there. And I took it. Yeah, these scores across the midfield are insane, though. All double-digit hauls from just like Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Jensen. I always want to call him Famke Jensen from X-Men or something. Matthias Jensen from Brentford. De Bruyne and Xhaka, who is, I mean, this is an outlier with a 12-point haul. He has had a fantastic season, though. 3 assists and 1 goal. I mean, that's nothing worth considering for fantasy, but by Xhaka's standards, in terms of just goal contribution, how confident he's looked. How many yellow cards does he only has 2 yellow cards through his standards, 7 matches?
That's not bad. I mean, that's like a reasonable. Yeah. Like he might get through that first, you know, 19 without a suspension. It seems unlikely, but it's possible. And then up front we have Jesus and then Ollie Watkins, who I'm actually shocked that he cracked one of these kings of the game, because I feel like he has been pretty anonymous so far. He's had some moments, obviously. It's not that, but it's just sort of that. I mean, it's just that Villa team has been kind of unexciting. I don't really know. I mean, they've actually like strung together some okay results, but it's just, you know, I don't know. It just feels like last year was sort of interesting to see what was going to happen with them, and this year they're 15th overall. They've got, you know, I don't know. Like it feels like they're totally safe. They're not going to get. They're very classic fantasy team, right? Which is that they're, or I should say, not fantasy, just a Premier League team. Which is that they're comfortably in the Premier League. It's like hard to imagine them going down. No one thinks that they're one of the worst teams, but they're also pretty clearly bottom half of the table. There's not a ton to get like super excited about if you're not a supporter, right? Like Leon Bailey.
Yeah, there's no magic. We just won't spend any time thinking about them.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I think Bailey still offers some value. He didn't really do much of anything in the Southampton match on Friday, but you know, he's 4.7 million, so it's fine. You know, like you just don't treat him like an every week starter.
Don't treat him like a king of the game week, Josh.
Don't treat him like a king of the game, exactly. But game week three, we do have a proper king, Brandon. Martin Odegaard, your boy, finally delivers. And pretty good goals, too. I feel like he had the one that he like took off Jesus' foot in this one. Yeah.
Do you remember when Billy Bob Thornton won the Academy Award for Sling Blade? And when his name was announced, pulled out of the envelope, everyone at the awards ceremony went insane because Billy Bob was their boy. He was Hollywood's boy. And Odegaard is my Billy Bob Thornton. And I was so happy to see him receive this award. Yeah. I cheered when I saw the team, the king of the game week, come out on the site. It was magic. It was great.
Yeah, he had some kind of illness today, right? I don't think it's anything serious. I can't remember why he was out today, but I think it was something.
I'm on Dinnery's injury site right now, and the rap sheet is calf shin heel injury, calf strain, currently being assessed.
Like the idea of all three of them, all three separate injuries. He injured his calf, his shin, and his heel.
There's some sort of a pivot table thing that Dinnery's got going here. And he further defines in column C, it is a calf strain. To me reads, you know, complete and utter speculation. Don't aggravate this going into the international break. We'll give you 2 weeks to get right ahead of the North London Derby.
Yeah, but isn't he like he's Norwegian, right? And Norway's not in the World Cup, so I guess it's not like he's not. It's just like rest for 2 weeks, right? And then you're right. Come back.
Yeah, and he wouldn't. I mean, they're still playing the Cup of Nations, Josh. It's not like
that's true.
There are no matches Nations going League. On here.
That's true. It's a funky midfield. St. Max is in this one. St. Max is a kind of guy who will pop up in these. All year long, right? It's like you never really want to own him in fantasy, but he'll six times a year he's going to be the top scorer, top, five scorers. It's a weird one. I mean, Rodrigo's there again. Jack Harrison, who's had a nice bounce back season. Bernardo is in there, and Odegaard. So yeah, I think this entire midfield, there's no one more expensive than $7 million in this best possible team you could put together for game week three. One of your highlights, you talked about Saliba this morning. For me, my highlight of the season was bringing in Saliba for game week three, and him scoring that goal was it's one of the greatest feelings you can have in fantasy, which is to bring in a player and especially a defender and have him score a goal the week you bring him in. It's just such a great feeling. It's like, because it's like a cheery, it's like you hope for a clean sheet, right? But the goal is just this like unexpected. It's like someone comping your meal at a restaurant or something. You're like, what? Like, the meal was enough, it's like this is great.
This bread's free. Well, so far, I think through three game weeks, the big story here is that Joel Veltman is twice king of the game week, while Erling Haaland is only once.
That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, and then up front you have Shea Adams and Brennan Johnson? Who is
Brennan Johnson.
Yeah. So I doubt we'll see them again. Well, let's hold out hope though, Brennan. Maybe we'll see Brennan Johnson one more time. All right, let's go to game week four. The king of the game week this time around was Bobby Firmino. The top team would have had 149 points, Brandon, if you could put this together. This is a very they cheated here, Brandon. This is a very Liverpool. So you actually really could not put this team together because there are four Liverpool players in this game week four king of the game week.
The Bournemouth match, 9-0. Absolute dirty deeds done. At a premium fantasy wise here. Yeah, Van Dijk 12, Trent 17, Luis Diaz 14, Firmino. Yeah, as you said, just absolutely ridiculous 22 points. The only guy able to outshine Haaland who came in. This was the week where everyone was like, is Haaland going to get a rest against Palace? Right. I'm going to captain Salah. No, I'm going to risk it in captain Haaland. And he scores a hat trick in the first half.
And meanwhile, Liverpool score 9 goals and Salah has a zero goals or assists in a 9 goal match. The most inexplicable result, right? Like I just cannot believe that actually happened. That is insane to me.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of the Forest match in game week 5 where Haaland does the hat trick in the first
half. This was a second half hat trick in this case. Game week 4.
We're not going to be able to keep these hat tricks straight by the
Crystal Palace game. The Crystal Palace game was the one where he scored the late hat trick.
Yeah, exactly. So Gross is back. Brighton, as we said, Grant Potter. He was very focused on Kings of the Game Week. You know, if you're watching Arsenal All or Nothing, Mikel Arteta always has something really clever to say to get the team pumped up before every game. Like, this is your heart, this is your brain, or here's a tweet from Ivan Toney. I think before every match this season, Graham Potter would just show everyone the Kings of the Game Week team selection from the previous week and say, do you want to be in this team or not?
Yeah, that's right. I think that for some people, that's really gonna. I mean, Havertz. If Havertz is on a game week 9, KOTG. We need a better name. What do you say that acronym? Kotwig. This was a fun week for fantasy. Almost all of us had pretty big scores this week, despite the Salah captaincy fail. And Raheem Sterling finally, it's kind of weird. I mean, Raheem Sterling is like, it feels like it's his goals have not like, I don't know. I have like a Sterling problem. I have to say, it's like, it's hard for me to see him as like, I don't know. Maybe it's because he was like, I mean, a couple years ago, like that season when he scored 20, it's the 2019-20 season. I was like, this guy was like, the best, like, you know, he's like the best player in the Premier League possibly, you know. It's like he was like incredible, you know, top five, and just the dip of the last couple of seasons, it's like I kind of don't trust him as much anymore. And so, you know, he had this little run there where he scored two goals in the Leicester match. I think he scored both of them after the there was a red card in that match, so it was two goals, 10 and 11. And then he scored again the next week at Southampton. And but on that, it's, you know, it's four blanks and six. And I don't really know. I mean, I'm not sure if Chelsea supporters feel like they've I guess it's pretty early, right? But, you know, it's hard to say whether they feel like they've gotten what they wanted out of Sterling so far.
I think they have. He's added more. Like, going back to what we were saying about Aston Villa, there's just no magic. There's no noise coming out of that club right now. And after, you know, a season and a half, two seasons with Timo Werner and Kai Havertz, you know, all credit to Havertz for scoring a game-winning goal in the Champions League final. But Sterling has brought a level of magic to that attack.
That's true. I think he scored a goal. In the Champions League last week. Did he score the only goal in a 1-0 win?
Yeah, so there's a certain level of dynamism that they've got, and the points haven't quite come for fantasy as consistently as you'd want, but it's a good deal.
All right, fine. I'll rescind my Sterling. It wasn't even criticism exactly, just my own. I'm stating my issues with him. All right, that brings us to game week 5. You talked about Haaland. This is, I think, now the third time that Haaland has appeared in our list, and he is the actual king of the game week. Finally, Haaland is the king of the game week, Brandon. Once again, we've got a 3-5-2, and again, they've cheated the best possible team you could put together, which now is no longer even Shrek, because you literally couldn't put this team together, have Cancelo, Stones, Haaland, and Alvarez, who I feel like if Alvarez were... If there were no Haaland, we would all be in love with Alvarez, right? It's like he is sneaky awesome, and it's just that Haaland is so good. It's kind of taken all the spotlight of Man City.
Yeah, and it's taken all the minutes away from Alvarez too. He looks like kind of like an upgraded version of Torres from last season. You're like, wow, this guy is good, and he's got a little bit. It's sort of he's got a little bit more, you know, gravity to him than Torres does. So I'd love to see him play more minutes, but I just remember being so I was not happy that I did not captain Haaland for his hat trick against Palace, so I was bound and determined to captain him this week, and it's just like two 17 pointers in a row is incredible. But was there ever a moment, Josh, where you were tempted to put the armband on Sinisterra at Leeds, who walks away with 10 points in this game.
He is good. You know, I brought in Aronson either this week or the following. So I ended up watching all of these Leeds matches, and he's quite a good player. It's sort of funny because, you know, Leeds are another one of these teams that they've only actually played 6 matches so far this season because of the postponement this weekend as well as last weekend. So it's, you know, it's hard to really have a read on them, but I feel like, I don't know, like they're sort of, you know, we talked about Villa and like a team that's safe. And I guess maybe the Leeds thing is more fun because there's a real concern that they may not be able to stay up the season. And I feel like that feels less pronounced now. It doesn't feel quite as risky. I mean, where the table, they're already, I mean, it's a fine start, right? I mean, you know, they've only played 6 matches, and so they're 11th on the table, 2-2-2. But yeah, I think he looks good. Harrison's better. I think realistically, I'm not sure how many fantasy players we're really gonna ever have. Maybe if Patrick Bamford could ever keep his health, you know, for like a sustained period, then I think that maybe unlocks the entire team a little bit more. But I don't know. I mean, I guess Rodrigo was offering fantasy value before his injury. So, and then Jadon Sancho popping up in here too, Brandon.
This, I think, marks the moment where fantasy managers are like, okay, I'm paying attention. So this was Manchester United's third win on the bounce after losing to Brighton and Brentford. 1-0 victory over Leicester. Sancho's second double-digit return in 3 weeks' time. So he's got 2 goals on the season. And you're kind of like, pretty good value. The fact that Marcus Rashford is cheaper than Sancho and returning as well has meant that we just haven't said a single thing about Sancho, and there's really nothing more to be said about him after everything you said last season, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, what else can I say about? I don't even know what to think anymore. I'm like, I am willing to give him the blank slate treatment. Like, let's give him a, and DeVore just, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's been, you know, impressive so far. I feel like,
Ten Hag?
I don't know. Or Ten Hag, Martin DeVore.
Wow. What a insult. Total dig.
You know, we started recording late tonight, and sometimes when we record late, I start to slip a little bit. I think I called Brent for Brighton earlier. You know, this is going to happen sometimes. Ideally, we should record at like 6 a.m., you know, when we're at our sharpest. But yeah, I am very willing to, the entire team, honestly, you know, Dalot, I put in the same camp, right? Like just like a full, like, all right, let's look at these guys with fresh eyes, because clearly it's a new program. And if Ronaldo can actually accept coming off the bench, then I think that really helps the squad as well, right? It's you don't have to feel the pressure to funnel everything through him. So game week 6, speaking of, Marcus Rashford is the player of the week. He had 18 points that week. It was 135 points overall. We have a different formation this time around, Brandon. The best possible formation would have been a 3-4-3. McAllister and Trossard across the middle.
This is I know, read the whole team, because this is I'll read it. This is the sketchiest Kings of the game week ever. All right, so up front you've got Tony, Solanke, and Daka. In the midfield, Rashford, McAllister, Trossard, and Daniel Podence. And in the back you've got Nathan Collins, Joe Gomez for Liverpool, who has had just a nightmare of a season, but still king of the game week. Ben Chilwell and the esteemed
who came out of like the 70th minute of that match too. Like it was
and basically won the match. So I remember the wonder was for could McAllister for Brighton keep it going? And we were like, it's impossible. He's a deep lying midfielder. He really is only scoring points from, you know, direct set pieces and pens. And lo and behold, Brighton have just got a ton of direct free kicks in great positions and pens. McAllister has got, now this would be his third double digit return in 4 weeks.
It's just so unusual, his name, right? Like a guy from Argentina whose name is McAllister, like Mac Allister. It's like, it's a very Scottish, I'm just confused by it. It's totally great. It's yeah. just it's just interesting yeah. to me. Yeah, yeah. What are the roots there? It's like, okay. Anyway, so yeah, it's just a very weird team. And then Solanke scores again yesterday. So maybe we finally have how cheap is he? He's got to be sub
6 point. He's 5.7 now.
Yeah, so he's dropped a lot, and so it's interesting. Yeah, the Solanke goal, Philip Billing scored a nice goal yesterday as well, and now we did see Billing, right? And that was Jefferson Lerma. Wow, so we have a lot of Bournemouth sneakily filled up this Kings of the Game Week. Yeah. We call them the Kings of the Bournemouth, Kings of the Mouth. You know, of
weekly. Ocean. Let's call it a weekly six pack. Budweiser six pack, where we just get Brighton and Bournemouth players who perform the best.
And you got to throw in some Wolves because we got a bunch again somehow. It's always so many Wolves players. And you had Potens and Collins. So this is a good, this is a good reminder, by the way, that fantasy is hard. Like, it is not like a thing that you can just sit down and just totally crack, right?
Yeah, everyone is like, yeah, they solved the game. And I'm looking at this team where I'm like,
Collins, Potens, Gomez, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there's like four or five of these players are second choice, like starters of their team. And so that's game week six. We skip a week, game week seven, rest in power, QE2. And that brings us to game week eight, Brandon. It was only seven matches. So the highest possible score for game week eight is a bit low. It would be 122 points. The player of the week is Son, who came on in the 65th minute, like of the man.
Absolute banter.
It's kind of annoying because I mean, it's like, you know, he would have been tempting, but I just was not going to bring in a player who everyone was like, he's not even going to start this week. You know, it's like, it's like 12 million or like whatever he is now, 11.7 for a player who's going to start for game week eight. Like, what? I couldn't do that, you know? And so it's
hard to continually pummel Ward at the Leicester goalkeeper for this. And some very nice goals that have been scored throughout the season against Ward. But the fact that Son knew that anytime he just got the ball, it was like he was playing FIFA, like just shooting from the top of the true. D. He's like, just get it on target. This guy can't stop anything. Somebody tweeted this clip of Mark Corrigan from Peep Show. He's like, he shows up to a five-a-side game to try and like talk to somebody from work, and he gets the ball kicked at him, and he's like, you can't kick the ball that hard. It's dangerous. Somebody's going to get hurt. And this is Ward at Leicester, right? Like he wasn't told that Son was going to kick the ball that hard.
It's funny because I was taking the kiddo out. It was like maybe 70 minutes into this match, and Son had just scored, right? And so it was I think 4-2 at the time, and I had stopped tracking around like the 82nd minute, and then later on I was like 6-2, like what happened there? It's a very you don't see a lot of 6-2. It's very, very lopsided. So yeah, so Son is the player of the week, and then you've got Betancourt, who I thought was incredible in this game. Like, oh my God, what a like the ball winning, like it was really impressive. Like, not just in terms of his fantasy output, but just really, really good game. And I have to say, I mean, it's not a Spurs sport, so I just haven't given a little thought to Betancourt one way or the other, but I thought he was really terrific and feels like he could be a really valuable player for them. So, and then you got Harry Kane, who I brought in on my wild card. I thought he had a very Kane-y kind of match. And they're just so good. And so this is like the story that people keep talking about, but it really is kind of fun to watch them because, you know, they have the set piece coach, right? And so it's like every set piece now, it seems like they're going to score. Like, they're so good on these set pieces. And it's like incredible, right? It's like the Eric Dier, goal. Like, it was a beautiful, like, everything was perfect. And it was just, and so if you have Kane in fantasy, that's just what you want to hear, right? Because Kane is, his ability to find space on set pieces is incredible, right? And so I feel like that's going to translate into some easy goals for him this year.
Yeah, and the other Harry, Harrison Reed, who scores his first goal ever for Fulham, turned out to be a game-winning goal. Like, it was a classic championship match where no defense was really being played. Yeah. You love to see it. And
you got to be excited about Fulham, though, right? They're sixth in the table now. It's pretty awesome.
I'm very excited. Like, just to see Fulham playing well, like, just they're fun to watch. And it has been eons since anybody who was a Fulham fan has been able to watch them be fun. It's been like a decade since they've been fun in the Premier League.
And the Mitro thing working this year is fun too. Who would have thought they would score three goals with nothing?
Just Mitro, play to the player's strengths. Yeah. And Paulinho is really just the revelation and a transformative signing there. So I see a few other redemption stories here, Josh. Tyrone Mings, who was not the apple of Steven Gerrard's eye to start the season, and here he is,
Mingsy,
proving Stevie G wrong, making the KOG.
Yeah, we're gonna have to work on that. You know, we'll come up with something. We have to drop one of the letters. Saliba we talked about already. Begovic too came in for Pickford and kept a clean sheet. Didn't have much work to do. I don't know that. Like, I mean, I guess there was one shot off the post. And I think that was pretty much it. There just wasn't a lot of, I don't know. It feels like things, it's not clicking right now. I'm not going to sack another manager on this week's podcast, Brandon. But it feels like things have to turn around sooner than later with West Ham, right?
David Moyes is like the picture of old age, or like, it's not old age. It's a picture of somebody who has been cursed. And I think he's been cursed with football management. But, I mean, he needs to transition to sport coats because the sweater thing is not working for whatever's going on.
He's
not great. But honestly, West Ham, the team, looks worse than David Moyes does right now.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure, you know, why. And so that's a podcast. I'm sure there are West Ham podcasts out there where they dive into that for a long, long time. So we'll leave that to them. You look at this King of the Game Week team, right? You've got Bentancur, Reed scores his first goal. Ramsey hasn't even been a starter, and Fabio Vieira, who got like his first minutes for Arsenal the last couple of weeks. So it's and then up front, talk about redemption story. You have Neil Mopé, it was a very nice goal too. Yeah. I thought he really struck that very well today.
He needed that because he was playing absolute garbage up to that moment. Credit to Lampard, Josh. We got to give somebody credit every week. So the weekly always cheating credit too goes to Frank Lampard.
Wow, we're doing it. All right. He was very dressed up today too. Like it was as dressy as I've ever seen him.
I think a lot of people were dressing up for QE2. That's my thinking.
I think you're probably right. Save it for the poppy season. Well, I don't know.
Poppy season is right around the corner.
Yeah, you're going to need those suits, you know? all right. Well, that is our King of the Game Week review. Thank you to everyone for listening to this podcast. Thank you. If you've gotten this far, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week with a standard FPL pod. Enjoy next week off. You know, go do something fun that has nothing to do with sports, ideally. You know, go see a movie. Like, as you know, I still haven't seen Nope, Brandon. I might try to finally go see it. Nope next weekend. Yeah.
I would recommend it. I enjoyed it. And if you just can't find anything to do, maybe just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating and support the pod. Jump on the Slack. Chat with us there about FPL or non-FPL related things. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating where you thank us and you get more FPL content in return. What we do every week, Josh, to end the podcast is thank our producer patrons. Thank you, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, to Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wegner, Lodal, Nick Wright, Lazaros Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Rich Evans, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Mikey Uong, Shiv Marjoria, Andy Portlock, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Lee Hickman, Vulgar Paulson, Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, James Conroy. I feel like I'm out of shape here, Jeff. I'm like really climbing up that hill today. Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Roberto Morals, and Thomas Tislov. Rate, review, subscribe to Always Cheating wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters, or a couple of snaps from Fest NYC up there. See what it looked like, what it was all about. For all this information and more, visit us at alwayscheating.com. Anything else, Josh?
No, I'm just going to thank everybody. I'm doing a lot of thank yous to people, but thanks again to everyone who came to Fest. We really did appreciate it. I think we all made the best of a tricky situation. So given the circumstances, but I had an amazing time. My family showed up late for that. And my wife said that I was like beaming when she showed up, which is, so it was, I think you and I both had a really great time there. So, I'm looking forward to a week off, and but we'll be back next Sunday with our standard pod. So talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. Bye.